Hello and welcome back to another Co-op-a-Cast. It's Co-op-a-Cast episode 118. It's Monday, January the 6th, 2014. We're down a man. He's experiencing technical difficulties. So Jason, he's with us in spirit. He's probably going to harass us on our Q&A line.
Good thing I turned that app off.
It's there though. I see it here.
Ah, man.
And so yeah, if you're watching us live there via Google Plus or YouTube, head to our page and ask us some questions. If not, we'll just be doing the same old stupid crap we always do.
It's pretty stupid.
Yeah, it's been a while since we had one of these. The holidays kind of got in the way, and it was kind of slow. We did some streaming.
But got some uniforms.
Yeah, so we're all sporting our little Co-Optimist jerseys here.
Yeah.
Team Co-Optimist! Anyway, let's talk about what we've been playing. And Mike apparently has only played one game.
I'm playing through the entire Mass Effect series again, but I figured
we've
already talked a lot about Mass Effect in the past, so I don't need to bring it up again.
How does the first game hold up? How did it hold up when you returned to it?
Oh my god, it was like Mass Effect 2 and 3 handle basically like third-person shooters, like just cover shooters. And the first person was also that kind of game, but they didn't really have a refined version of a cover system or the ability to aim with any accuracy. You might remember that your weapons...
Look who joined the party.
All right, podcast over, guys. I don't know if I can talk about anything anymore. And he's not even wearing his uniform.
No.
You came to the staff meeting unprepared.
So the original Mass Effect, the combat bits are just super clunky. The AI is really bad. They can get caught up on stuff, the power synergies that came in the later games, you know, they weren't quite as effective. It's just a little clunky, but the story still holds up really well, and there's a lot more role playing opportunities.
Ooh.
And yes, erotic role-playing as well, Locke.
Good.
But there's a lot more opportunities to do stuff like that in the first game that were kind of absent later on. But yeah, I'm actually really happy to be on to Mass Effect 2 because that's my favorite game in the series, and B, it's just, I think it's a better game and more fun to play. So... actually, what I've been playing most of the time is actually the demo for a JRPG called Bravely Default on the 3DS.
What a riveting title.
It is, it's a silly title, but it's an awesome little Final Fantasy-esque JRPG. It's got the full Final Fantasy job system in it. It's got all the character artwork and everything's done by Yoshida. He's the guy who did like Final Fantasy Tactics, FF12, and I'm pretty sure he was also the guy who did Vagrant Story.
Nice.
Like all the art for that. So it's just this really gorgeous looking RPG, and. So, you know, it's got the job system. If you've played any of those games before, you pick a class and you earn abilities through that class, but then you can say, okay, I want to be... So I was a knight, but now I want to be a black mage, but I still want to keep what I learned as a knight, so you can still... Like, you can put the two classes together and...
And make a black knight?
Yeah, and there's also... You can multi-class, and there's also the ability to take abilities from any class that you've learned... and combine them together. So you can be like a Valkyrie, which is kind of like a Final Fantasy Dragoon. So you can say take a Valkyrie that has all of the like elemental abilities of like a Black Mage, like spell casting, but can two-hand weapons like the Knight, and you still do like the jump commands and stuff, and you'll do a lot. Like you can synergize all that stuff to get a much greater damage output. So it's real fun, and it has the game's not out till February, but it has this amazing demo, and Etrian Odyssey 4 did this as well, where the demo the demo actually allows you to carry progress and stuff from the demo into the full game.
That's rad.
And the demo is like I've put about 3 hours into the demo, and I haven't finished it yet. And so there's all this, and there's also a whole meta game surrounding like street passing, and you have a no, it's but it let me finish.
No, I know. I got a story for you after.
Okay, so so you can street pass people, and it adds them as, you know, if they've also played Bravely Default, you can actually see what their characters are like, and you can register them and actually use their characters in your game, and you can send your characters into other people's game the same way. But there's this whole meta game about the village that your crew is from has been just totally destroyed, and you're trying to rebuild it and expand it. And as you street pass people, they become workers in the game.
You enslave
and you can
them.
Rebuild the village using the people, and it does the kind of, it's almost like a mobile game where it's like, okay, I want to build an item shop in my village. It's going to take an hour, and it's a real-time hour. But as you add, so like I can say one person do this and it's going to take an hour, but if I add two people to it, it takes 30 minutes and so on. So you can, there's some stuff that takes like 10 or 15 hours to do, but if you're carrying the 3DS around and you street pass a lot, you can actually get a lot of workers, and it encourages you to go and be social. And unfortunately, you can only get the actual characters for other people if they've played the game and are either local wireless to you or you've street passed them. But the full version of the game will actually allow you to do that just by trading, you know, stuff on the internet. So it'd be like, you know, I can't street pass Locke, but if I want to use his stuff, I can just ask him for access on the website. So it's pretty cool. Fun. It messes with the formula quite a bit. Jason played it a little bit of it too, and he's like, is it just me or is this really hard? And it does. It starts out, like, there's kind of a difficulty spike because it doesn't start you out in a position where you can just auto-attack your way to victory. And you actually have to engage with the mechanic, like, the special mechanics that the game uses. So, like, the name Bravely Default comes from its battle system. There is a... So you can... You save up action points per turn, and... some of your abilities cost them, others are free, so you can say, this turn I'm going to do what's called defaulting, and that's basically defending, and you get an extra action point for that turn. Or you can go brave, and each time you brave, you get to queue up another action, so you can take up to, so far I've seen, you can take up to 4 actions on a single turn. But each one costs you one of your action points. So if you hadn't saved up a bunch, you'll go negative and your character will be inactive for 3 battle turns. Or you can just, like, for early battles or battles against enemies you know you can take out in one round, you could have your entire party go balls out on them and save yourself a lot of time.
Nice. So that's awesome.
It's pretty slick. I really like it, and I you know, I was kind of on the fence about it because I was just like, I don't know if this is going to be my thing. And then I've just been playing it, so I put a pre-order in for the full game.
Delicious.
And yeah, pretty rad.
Cool. All right, Mr. Locke, why don't you drop your story on us that you...
I was just going to say, today I was driving around running errands, and I checked into the Nintendo hotspot thing because... I don't, like, take transit or anything, or I'm not in an area where there's, like, one person per square mile where I live, so there's not a lot of street passing happening up here. So I was going to some hotspots when I was running my errands to see if I could pick up some street passes. All 4 places are McDonald's in the city, which I found kind of funny. There's 3 McDonald's and a Best Buy, and I went to the Best Buy, and I picked up, a couple street passes, which was kind of fun, because I bought those games, but I like things that integrate into that, and the pawn system, it reminded me, when Mike was talking about that system, it reminded me of that pawn system in
Dragon's Dogma.
Dragon's Dogma, which I think is cool. And then you started talking about that Dark Cloud sort of town building stuff. And
sure.
I mean, it's got a lot going for it, it sounds like. I'm going to definitely check out the demo here.
Yeah, the demo's great.
Sounds cool. What have you been playing?
Me?
Besides driving around looking for hotspots in Canada.
all the hotspots.
Street pets and those kids who get in their Happy Meals.
Pretty much, just hang out by the elementary schools. I actually was playing some other new Pokemon. I just out at the cabin for the holidays, so I did actually bring a computer with me, which was kind of funny because I wanted to get some single player stuff that I missed. So I finished things like Gone Home, and thank you again, Mike, for recommending playing through with the developer commentary. I think that's a must mm-hmm. play. Both play through it twice, play through it naturally, and then play with the dev commentary because it's really cool. I actually found the Easter egg with that developer commentary. Which I thought was really cool, and I won't spoil it for anyone, but check around the garage. Papers, Please, I played through. Brothers, I played through. I finished Persona 4 Golden. Again, Gone Home. And then I dabbled with some XCOM Enemy Within. I grabbed that on the Steam sale. So
that's the expansion, right?
That's right, yeah. It was.
Yeah, I started that as well.
Bucks. So, man, I started an Iron Man Classic.
Jeez.
I had to take it off Iron Man because I was getting annihilated, just like ridiculous stuff. And I don't like save every turn and then try and reload if something doesn't go well. I'll save at the start of the mission, and then if everything goes to hell, I'll reload. Or if like I'll try and be fair with myself and give myself limitations. Like if I'm halfway through a mission and I lose a guy, that happens. So, but Iron Man is just, it's cruel. It sucks so bad. And but the new stuff is neat. Like, you get to do genetic modifications with a new currency. Yeah, it's separate from money. It's called Meld, and you can collect it on each map. There's two Meld spots that you can collect. There are these little nodes, and they actually count down, so you can miss them. But, yeah, I'm just dabbling in that, trying to play a couple maps a night, and... yeah, looking forward to get back into stuff. I haven't picked up any new consoles, but I've got a whack load of Steam games from that sale that I'm going to be playing. So,
cool.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Lots of board games too. I got to talk to Jason about Netrunner after. So, but yeah, that's it for me.
Jason, thanks for joining us.
His mic is muted.
He's muted.
Oh,
it's.
Let's unmute him.
It looks Jason? Like he's petting the cat.
Jason.
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 Is he milking the cat?
What do I do with my hands?
I don't know. Jason. do you, no.
Oh no.
No, it's muted on Google Plus. You should change that.
Maybe I can. Hello.
There you go. Now you've got it, Jason.
Jason.
Move your mouth. Talk for me, baby.
All right, how's that go?
Oh, thanks for joining us.
Glory be. We can finally hear your voice.
Right. Here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
And start the podcast.
Not only can you hear my voice, but I'm not getting like a ton of freaking feedback on my microphone like I was before. So,
excellent.
Yeah, yep, and time to start the podcast. Drop everything else. So what I've been playing, it really is really interesting to hear what you guys were playing as I was doing all this stuff and like unplugging my headset and plugging it back in. Papers, Please sounds really good. Anyways, I've been playing Warframe on the PS4 with nice. My buddy from college and
Space Ninjas.
They've done a lot of updates to that game since we first looked at it back in July, August.
Is it worth checking out again?
I mean, I think so. The grind is still there, without a doubt. Like, grind for materials and parts and stuff for your Warframes, but now it's gotten to be a little bit more predictable, so it's
now... Is the bump there, though?
The bump.
The bump and grind?
No. No.
No bump.
All right. Can you be a hot stepper?
You can drop it like it's hot. How about that?
Sorry. Bad joke. Keep going. Keep going.
So anyway, so the grinding for materials and everything is there, but the boss is now, like, the boss of every single system has a chance to drop some piece from either a weapon or for a warframe, right? So it's, you know, you can just farm the bosses until you get all the different blueprints, build them, put them together, and, you know, you're pretty well set. And there's tons of people playing, so it's pretty easy to find pickup groups. For the most part, actually, I'm surprised pickup groups work out pretty well for this game. I mean, it's very cooperative in nature, so you very rarely have anyone trying to go off and do their own thing. And most of the folks have played through each of the missions and the bosses enough times that they know the strategies for them. So, I mean, it's very quick and easy to get into. The changes to the damage system, they made a lot of changes to the way damage works. So now you have three different damage types, slash, puncture, and impact. And those, you know, do more damage to certain enemies and less damage to others.
I have something to say. You know what else has damage types like that? Dark Souls.
Dark Souls does have damage types like that.
Just saying. Lock back me up here.
I thought you were going to say you're a fan of puncture damage, but whatever.
Or impact damage.
You guys are perverts.
Yes, we are.
You're the one playing little JRPGs.
They so anyways, censored that game in the U.S., by the way.
God damn it.
It is well worth checking out again, and there's actually a Co-Optimus guild for the PS4 version. So
what are they call guilds? They're called guilds
clans.
In fantasy game. Clans? Is that what it is in
Spanish? Yeah, a dojo.
Yeah, dojo.
So a clan and you get a dojo.
So can I ask a question?
You can. And if this has anything to do with puncture impact.
No. No, this is actually something that's been bugging me, especially with the new gen consoles, the new gens, because they're basically PCs.
Okay.
Can you or can you not play with PC players in this version of the game?
Right now, I believe it's PS4 only. They are looking at how to tie the two together, because when I first picked up the game, I thought I'd be able to tie it back to the account that I created when I set up on the PC, which you can't do. So it looks like you're playing with other PS4 players based off of that, but, you know, in all honesty, I'm not 100% certain if that's necessarily the case. There's nothing that says if there's a PC or PS4 player, but just, you know, based on the fact that there's no tie-in to the PC accounts, it seems to be strictly between the two platforms.
Sure, but because before, in ye olde times, the idea was that the architecture was different, and therefore, you know, they had to segregate everything. It's why the consoles didn't work, you know, with one another. So, you know, now that the consoles are basically PCs, I'd really like to see, especially with MMOs, you know, games like they're cross-platform.
Right.
I mean, Final Fantasy 14 works on the PS3 and the PC on the same server.
Dude, they've been doing that stuff since Shadowrun. We got this.
Yeah. They did the what's the Sony published superhero MMO?
DC Online.
Yeah.
There's a PC version of that? I didn't know.
I
thought there was.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, fact check that.
The one thing I do know, and we'll talk about this in the news section a little bit, but the PC actually currently has an update to the game that is not present in PS4, and that has to do with the whole approval for patches and stuff like that. That has to go through Sony and it has to get, you know, recertified or whatever. So,
yeah, there is a PC version.
I thought there was.
Yeah, I just didn't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah, currently they're looking at cross play between the two versions. If I remember reading a post at some point.
I know it's not right now, but yeah.
They were looking at how to do that, because and I think the reason that it isn't is because of the fact that they have to go through that whole process to, you know, get one up to date as the same as the other.
Right.
Yeah.
What was I going to ask you? For Warframe, have you spent much money?
I have spent probably $40 on the game.
That's not bad. What kind of stuff do you have you bought?
So I've bought weapon bundles just to get, you know, some different things to play around with and a few different Warframe packs, because they during the holiday season they had some special deals going on, not only for platinum, so you could actually end up buying, like, I don't know, like 700 platinum for like $30 or whatever it was.
Which is a good deal, I'm assuming.
Which is, well, no, it actually was even better than that. I think it was like 1,000 platinum for like 40 or something, and normally it's like $60 for it.
Oh, wow.
So they were running some pretty good deals for buying their currency, and then they also had some flash deals, like, you know, for a day you could buy this bundle for a half cost for its, you know, whatever it was.
Nice.
So, you know, I bought a few different Warframes, a few different weapons. I've saved a lot of that, though, to spend towards building stuff in the dojo, because in order to build different rooms, you have to use these elements that you can only get from either login rewards. So, like, if you log in consecutive days, you get rewards for doing so. Usually it's, like, item XP, but occasionally you get things like these elements that you need. So you can either get them through there. Sometimes you get them rewards for different missions, or you can buy them for like 20 platinum. So I've been using a lot of the platinum just to buy those things to build up the clan dojo.
Awesome. Oh, that sounds great. I've been meaning to check it out again. I think I still have it installed. So
I still have the PC version installed too.
I managed to craft a Warframe item through the Steam sale, and I sold it for like $6, I think.
Nice. So,
and don't worry, I spent it all on Dota items, so.
And there's never a question in my mind about that.
Seriously.
But yeah, no, I like that game when we played it, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
What else, Jason, have you been dabbling in?
A lot of my time now over the past few days has been sunk into Ring Runner, and I'm 8 hours into the game, and that probably accounts for a third, maybe a quarter of the way through the campaign.
Jesus.
I feel like there's a lot there. There's like, this is a game, Locke, I think you would really like.
I know, and I'm actually going to download it as soon as this podcast is done, because did you guys stream it last time? I don't know.
We never did end up streaming it.
So we can stream that next week.
We were too scared, because it was... when you play the tutorial, it's pretty overwhelming at first.
Okay.
And I was like, we don't want to jump into this stuff and just look like schmucks.
Right, okay.
And like the other times that we jump into this stuff and just look like schmucks.
We want to adequately prepare to look like schmucks.
Yeah, we want, so, but yeah, I mean, we played for like an hour and we had no idea what was going on.
Sweet,
the entire
so
time.
This week we're all going through flight school, and then next Monday we can figure it out.
Yeah, the tutorial is like 2 hours in length, but it's one of those things, and it lets you skip it if you want to. But I definitely recommend playing it, because it takes you through each one of the different archetypes for the different ships. So there's, you know, like a fighter, a caster, arsenal, rogue, and grappler, which are basically various versions of DPS. The grappler is melee, kind of a melee class ship. So you learn each one, you kind of learn how each one operates and steers and maneuvers, so you get a little bit accustomed to, I really like this archetype, or I really like this archetype, so that by the time that the game opens up and you can start building your own ships and flying around and taking missions, you know kind of what you're geared towards and everything.
Nice.
From that aspect, it's really cool. Like, it's amazing that this game is $10, it's been 5 years in development, and they've got so much poured into it. And all these ships that they've built and all the different customizations, pretty much you can tell are geared towards having to be well-balanced for the multiplayer. So they have MOBA-style mode called Space Defense League. They've got Zombie Defense, which is really interesting, and Wave Survival. You can basically
the one that
like,
we played, I liked was that Spire one.
The Spire battle,
where it had like the big like space stations and like.
Yep.
So I mean, the battles that were taking place were pretty impressive. Like lots of stuff going on, tons of ships shooting around, and you know, we died a lot, but it was pretty quick to get back into the action and stuff.
Yeah, and I like too, like at the end of every single match that you play through, you know, whoever you're partying with can basically vote on what the next mode is to go to.
And the other nice thing too was the how all of the stuff that you collected or unlocked in those modes of play carried over to you. Like you have like an overarching hangar or whatever, right? Yeah. So you could buy new stuff for your ships or whatever. I thought
right,
that
and vice
nice.
Versa. Yeah, so if you're playing through the single player and unlock stuff, you can bring it over to the multiplayer, yeah. It's in a very co-op friendly game, too. The duo ship is the only one that allows local co-op, and it follows one of the same five different archetypes. But it's really cool to play with a friend, and like you're sitting there and you're steering, and you find yourself calling out like guy at 3 o'clock, and so you're like going in the opposite direction, and whoever's shooting the guns is turning around and like shooting off the abilities the other way, and you're swerving in and out of asteroids. It's a great couch co-op kind of game. It just sucks that they have these missions in single player that basically forces you to go through their buying system for all these different ships. If you want to fully play the game cooperatively, otherwise, you know, you hop into a mission where you need like a grappler ship or you need a rogue ship, and you kind of tell your buddy, "Hey, hold on for a second, let me just do this one mission, and then we'll get back into it."
Cool. So yeah, we'll stream that next week, next Monday, and see how foolish we look.
Nice.
You'll be our veteran, our guide.
Oh, great. My tactic so far has just been to stay in one place and blast out a bunch of missiles and hope I kill stuff.
There you go.
That seems like a legitimate strategy to me.
Hey.
All right, so I'll go through what I've been playing. I decided to get back into Skyrim. I picked up the sweet anthology here that they released a lot of stuff, and it's really, really nice. I got it for like $15 on Amazon.
What a question. Question.
Is that a final record you got?
No, it's every Elder Scrolls game.
Nice.
Starting with Arena, and it's got some nice artwork and stuff. Daggerfall, Morrowind. Yeah, the funny thing is, I have most of these, but I just wanted the nice packaging and stuff. And for $15,
you just wanted to get them again.
But the nice thing was, it includes all the DLC for Skyrim, which I didn't have, and so I just plugged in the code to Steam, and it gave me all the DLC for my thing, and saved me. So basically, I paid $15 for the DLC and then a physical thing of all this.
That's it.
I have a question, that's like, it's, Nick.
Yes, go ahead.
Did it come with a cloth map?
It did not come with a cloth one. It came with a giant... It's a heavy-duty paper. It's not like the cheap like poster kind of paper, but it is a giant map of the Warless.
Okay. At least it came with a map.
Yeah, and it came with some soundtrack stuff and some other bonus stuff. So I've been playing a lot of that, which I am enjoying. I loaded it up with a ton of mods and stuff to make it look real pretty. And I will finish that hopefully within the next...
century.
Yeah. I picked up NBA 2K14 when I bought the PS4 because it just looked gorgeous, and I never really put too much time into... the My Career mode in it, and it's really bizarre. I was trying to tell Mike about this. It's like Mass Effect meets basketball.
What does that even mean?
So you literally like you start on the streets and you get this you get this agent and he starts asking you questions and it has the circular dialogue thing and it's got choices and you know you've got basically like wise ass and like I don't know. It's different levels of choices to customize how your character. Is perceived in the world of NBA 2K14.
And if you don't make it to the Final Four, the machines take over.
Well, you laugh.
But it's true.
So then you go, then you have to go to like the high school All-Stars game, and you play that, and you have to do well and perform well. And
who'd you take to the prom?
And then you get interviewed by a bunch of the GMs, and you have to answer questions. They're throwing freaking play styles at you. What would you do in this situation? What would you do in that? And then you go to the draft, and then again, all this time there's dialogue trees and stuff that pop up, and you have to talk to different people and stuff. So you get drafted. So I got drafted. I got drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers in with the 15th pick. I didn't play a game of basketball until the fifth game of their season. I literally sat in the bench, and I could have sat there and watched the entire game.
Amazing.
And then, what's crazy is so that after the game, you go back, and there's actually a built-in Twitter thing, and because my Twitter handle, it actually made it the same as my real Twitter handle, it kind of is bizarre to me to read these things and it's be like, yo, it looked like Nick Paleo wasn't in the game again last night. I bet he's getting really pissed at the coach. And then, you can actually, interact through the build-in Twitter thing. And
amazing.
Anyway, long story short, it's finally, 7 or 8 games in, and I get more than, 4 minutes a game now. But I suck. I so hard won the game.
So. You suck at playing it, or you suck?
Well, both. My character sucks in it, and I suck. And everything is tied to this virtual currency system.
Dogecoins?
Yeah, basically. That's what you want. And so, if you want to buy new shoes for your guy to gives you better ups, you need to do good in the game and then earn the coins to buy the shoes or unlock ability. It's,
man, you gotta get that sponsorship from Fitty.
There's sponsorships in it too. Oh, it's just crazy. Bizarre. It really
That's
is.
Crazy, man.
I've been playing that, and I've been playing a lot of Dota 2 for the co-op Wraith Knight mode, which we streamed a couple weeks ago. Today is actually the last day for that. But I managed to get a significant amount of the crystals and whatnot, and unlock some stuff. And I managed to play with some random folks, and we actually got through the entire 13 some waves.
Nice.
It was pretty satisfying. So that was good stuff.
Sweet. Well, if it's going away, it means I can uninstall it again.
Yep.
So why is it going away?
It's a seasonal thing.
Apparently, yeah. Apparently, this happens often.
It's exactly the same as they do with TF2. TF2 has seasonal events, and they're a completely different game mode, and they're there for a little while for the season. TF2's big one is always around Halloween.
Yeah.
And so they'll do a special game type, and it'll last for 2 or 3 weeks, and then the event will wrap. And then it doesn't come back. They just make a new one the next time the season rolls around.
I hope that they decide to maybe add a more persistent co-op mode to it because of this. The random folks that I played with, there seemed to be a lot of positive feedback. And I don't know. It just in general, it was a nice touch. And it made me learn some other characters, too, or try some other characters I wouldn't normally try. And I actually bought some stuff too, so I'm anxious to jump back into competitive stuff and
good man.
See how that goes.
I tried all the characters, and my trying of them was like, Locke, what do I do now? Locke, how do I play this character? Locke, what do I do?
Push the Q button.
Yeah.
How do I Dota?
Let's jump into some quick news stuff, and then we'll talk about our Game of the Year nominations and winners. And maybe look ahead. Mike, why don't you start us off with some Diablo 3 news?
Oh, geez. Diablo 3. So the Reaper Souls expansion got announced at BlizzCon a while back. And we have a release date. It is March 25th, which I believe is the same day as Dark Souls 2. And also one day after my birthday. So I know what all of my filthy lucre birthday money is going to be spent on. I believe Reaper Souls is coming to the consoles, but I don't think it's. I don't know if it's day and date. So I think
the
this
rumor
is...
I saw is actually the PS4 version is going to have both.
Okay, that might be true.
Yeah, I think I saw that. We put a news post up about that.
Yeah. I've read some stories on it on our site.
Okay, well, I didn't because I was busy With the holiday, if my family and such.
Families. With Japanese RPG children.
Yes. Whatever. Right. Anyway, so Reaper Souls coming in this March. It should it should be interesting. They're changing everything up quite a bit. Kind of bringing the PC version in line with the console, at least as far as loot goes. There's the new the Crusader, who looks pretty awesome if you like your heavy armored melee class that slings a more than a couple spells. You know, I forget what the new crafting vendor is, but they're adding a third tier of crafting. It's like the Mystic. And I think Diablo 3's come a long way since it released. The PC version, you know, it got slammed quite a bit for the auction house and basically all the persistent issues. But they've been working pretty tirelessly to transform that game into something new and cool. So hopefully this will be the good expansion. So it'll, you know, be kind of like the.
Do we have a price on it yet? Do they say
$40?
40. Okay, not too bad.
Not bad.
Yeah, you know, if you could get the digital deluxe edition for $60, or you can pay $80 if you want the awesome box special edition. And Blizzard's special editions are always actually worth buying, so we'll see.
Cool. So something else is coming, or got a release date, and that is Destiny. Locke, why don't you tell us about that?
Dude, it's not just Fate, it's your Destiny. It's hitting all the platforms. Well, it's the cross-platform thing with, you know, 360 and Xbox One. PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4. September 9th, boys. That is quite a ways away, so we're going to see a lot of coverage for Destiny, but that trailer that came out at the VGX, I mean, just before Christmas, was it?
Yeah.
It looks sick. Like, this game looks better and better every time. So.
There's a really good article in last month's Game Informer.
Okay.
Covers it.
Nice.
And there's some good stuff in it. The co-op is thrown around over and over and over again. Like, it's a very, very co-op focused game. It's all about. It sounds like a three-player squad is going to be the sweet spot in what they're really aiming for. But there's always going to be those bigger, kind of cross-squad, large-scale events where you'll just kind of wander into zones and there'll be a giant boss or something that you'll have to work with other groups to take down. And
I'm digging it a ton because all of the... I'm really digging the theme because all of the media that's come out for Destiny, it's got this unique blend of sci-fi. It's not as far as Halo with Space Marines and Army because I don't really like that, and it's not sort of desolate sort of apocalyptic world like Borderlands, but it has this weird sci-fi Mad Max thing going on, which I really like. I'm totally feeling this game. I'm really looking forward to it. So I'm excited to do like jump, slide, pistol ear, shoot. Watch the trailer because it's really cool what they're doing with it, and I'm super stoked. So September 9th.
It's not a straight shooter.
No, it's got a little movement to it, which I think is it's important because you got to compete with things like Titanfall and stuff like that.
Yeah. So. Is there a PC version of that confirmed, or is it just consoles?
Destiny is console only.
Just console only, man.
Yeah.
Then I don't care.
Yeah, so that was originally supposed to be spring, and when they announced that, everyone was kind of a little bummed. But
we just got to think it's getting better. It's just going to be getting better.
I'll just be playing Titanfall.
There you go. Let's see. Let's talk about. I'll talk about real quick. I put up an article over the weekend or recently about Xbox One has a weird requirement. If you want to create any account on it, you actually need an email address for it.
Why don't you just make an email address for it? Why are you complaining, man?
Yeah. Email's free.
So
yeah.
Yeah, man.
So the reason I don't want to make it wasn't that I was making a big deal about it, but I had to make an email address for my 5-year-old daughter.
is she checking that regularly?
Well, the thing is, I actually did put it on her little iPod Touch then.
Oh, sweet.
But the thing is now, I have to, I you know, obviously I kept the password and the name and stuff stored, but it's one more thing that I won't be logging into regularly that I'll have to make sure not to lose in case whatever.
Something, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not contained on the console itself. It's contained somewhere else. If it was just on the console and managed from the console, it wouldn't be a big deal. But yeah, so it is a requirement for every single account to have an email address associated with it.
Wonderful.
A little bit of a weird thing.
But the most important thing is that it was a change from the old system, that this was not the case.
Yeah, so originally on the Xbox 360, if you had the family account, you could basically create children underneath you. And the Xbox seamlessly kind of on the back end took care of whatever it had to do to tie the accounts together. And actually, Eric had one set up for his family. It looks like it created like these kind of goofy email addresses at xboxfamily.com, but they weren't actually active email addresses or anything like that. It just, you know, took care of all the fluff work.
Mm-hmm.
But, and so, yeah, it's changed. It's a minor annoyance right now, but I figured it was worth getting that out there.
Yep.
Everyone else, or a lot of people, apparently didn't think it was worth me writing that up, according to our comments.
Stop complaining about things, Snick.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Jason, why don't you complain about Warframe on the PS4 still being behind the PC
version? It is, yeah. No, I'm going to report a news article that is erroneous. News article stating, update to Warframe brings it in line with the PC Master Race. Incorrect. By the time this news article actually went up, there was already an update to the PC version that put it out of, yeah. So update 11.5. Awesome. Adds another new Warframe and does some other tweaking and stuff like that. But PS4 is still back on update 11, which also had a new Warframe and some new weapons and stuff. But, you know, we'll see what happens. That's why the two aren't cross-play right now. And a lot of people just want the patches to hit close to one another. So usually it's about a month delay, I'd say, in between when you see it on the PC and when you see it on the PS4. But the nice thing about a lot of these updates is they often include, like, update to the tile sets. So compared to, like, July, there was, like, 3 or 4 different maps that you saw, or tile sets for maps. They've got a whole lot more now once you kind of get out of the initial area, so...
Well, that's good. Running around that same set of pipes was getting a little old.
Yeah. So they've definitely done some updates to that, and they've added a bunch of... They've been working on those kinds of aspects of the games with a lot of these updates, so...
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. So last little bit of news is something that's breaking news, just coming out of CES. Exactly. Coming out of CES from Las Vegas, Valve has announced their Steam Machine partners. There's 13 of them. And
this was going to be about Michael Bay's breakdown at CES.
Yeah, Michael Bay got stage fright. We've got 13 partners announced. Pricing ranges from about $500 up to, I think it's like $6,000 if you're going Falcon Northwest.
Sweet.
What does this all mean? It's the same PCs these manufacturers are always making, maybe just in a slightly smaller case in some versions. All it is it's a pre-installed version of Linux that's running the Steam OS on it.
Yeah.
If you read around the gaming press, people are, you know, they're trying to put Valve head-to-head with the Xbox One and the PS4 here, and I don't know. I don't see who Valve is going after with this. Like, what the point is? Because, like, I wrote up a little article about this, but basically the 13 partners, I'll read through them real quick. It's Alternate, CyberPower, PC, Digital Storm, Gigabyte, Falcon Northwest, iBuyPower, Main Gear, Material.net, Next SPA, Origin PC, ScanNC, WebHolland, and Zotac. So basically, all of those, and did I skip over Dell? Alienware should be on here, too. I missed them. But Dell and Alienware are making one too. Besides Dell, Alienware, and iBuyPower, like there's very little like retail presence for any of these. So if they're going after like the console market, which let's just call it like available at Walmart,
sure,
right, your biggest market for this stuff, you're not going to see that from any of these things. So the people that buy these PCs from these manufacturers are already
they already PC have gamers. PCs.
They already have PCs with Steam on it, and yeah, like why would you switch to the more limited version of Steam, essentially, in that you're not getting all of the games? What was the percentage, Mike, of Linux users right now?
All flavors of Linux, according to the hardware survey, was something like 1.8% of all Steam users.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it's really, really low. I'd be curious what the percentages of games available on Steam are that offer a Linux flavor.
It was something. Well, I saw a total a while back, and everything, including all the indie games and Greenlight and Valve's own stuff, it was something like 250 games out of the thousands
on there
that actually support Linux in some capacity.
Yeah, so it's just kind of bizarre, and Linux has always had a problem with driver support from hardware manufacturers. Not that there aren't drivers available necessarily, but the driver performance is poor compared to the Windows counterpart. So there's a long way to go here for this, and like I said, I'm just not sure what the market is.
Question, out of just legitimate curiosity, is there anything like, basically think of like Chromecast here, that would stream Steam to a TV? Like from your PC running just straight to the TV?
I actually had we reviewed a little HDMI streamer device. Basically the same thing. It's like $200. It has a USB port on it, so you can hook up a USB device, you know, a controller or whatever, a keyboard and mouse, and use it in your living room. So yeah, you could essentially accomplish the same task.
That I don't understand why they didn't necessarily put something like that out, because of the fact that it is. People have PCs, they have all this stuff set up, and it's just if they want to be in the living room, why not make it easy just to plug a device in just to stream it there. Yeah,
I think their end game is to, you know, have a out of the box solution where you turn it on, you're in big picture mode, you're logged in, and the user doesn't have to do much of anything. It's essentially like a console.
Right.
But I think their end game also has a lot to do with, kind of a rumbling perception that maybe Microsoft isn't going to be making Windows forever.
Yeah.
And that there would, you know, they want to be there to, you know, they want to be there so that people will just start gaming on SteamOS.
Not even necessarily
the ecosystem.
Not necessarily gaming. Even they with the introduction last year of Steam apps, right? Like, like software through Steam, something like that, and integrating that into their ecosystem. Like, it's a big play for sure, but
it's Gaben becoming that which he hates.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. What's weird is that obviously my inclination to what the Steam Box was going to be, how it was going to be a competitor to the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, was this sub $400 box that you can have in the living room and have on store shelves. But now with these announcements, it's not a single
under $500.
These big fat gaming rigs that nobody wants to pay for that who doesn't have a PC already.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what Steam Box I want is the one they've been sending out for free to those 300 beta testers.
That one will cost you basically the equivalent of that. Hold on, one of them has a pretty close specs with the Titans. Oh, actually, it's the Origin one, and that is a to-be-determined pricing.
Of course.
So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what it does, how it does. Obviously, the thing we didn't mention is the controller, right? The controller's the Trojan horse, I guess, so to speak, is what they're trying to get in there. It's, you know, hopefully you won't need a keyboard and mouse if you can use that controller. It's supposed to mimic it in a lot of ways and does some stuff to make it easier. Right, anybody can have SteamOS, can install SteamOS on their PC. Right now it's a little clunky because you have to have like its own separate hard drive and some other stuff. But when it gets there, yeah, you can do it yourself. Anybody that has these PCs, there's no reason to pick up one of these things as long as you can buy that controller separate.
And so it has to be on its own external... It has to be on
right
its own...
Right now, drive. Yes, it does. It has to be on its own drive. But they said when they get closer to a real thing, you'll be able to partition and whatever else. Most people have just been putting it on VMs to play around with it. Apparently it crashes a lot and everything else right now.
Can't imagine why.
Talk to Microsoft
about
that.
The dark days of Steam, when it first started, it used to be a horrible product.
And now it's glorious.
And now it's...
Locke can get all of his Dota needs.
I think that's probably another reason Valve is making these kind of maneuvers too, is that the rise of Origin and Uplay and all these other digital storefronts, you know, getting partners and hardware and something like this solidified now kind of, you know, brackets those off and makes it tougher. So basically what they're doing is they're splintering the PC gaming community in a way.
A little bit.
So I don't know. We'll see. Let's move on here. We've been yapping for a while, and let's talk about our game of the year for 2013.
Clearly it was Risk of Rain. Voting was rigged.
Boom. Boom.
So, well, first let's just say that what we did is all the staff members basically nominated two games in each category. So two AAA games that we thought were Game of the Year and two indie games that we thought were worthy of Game of the Year. And we tallied all those up, and that was how we chose. Basically, whichever one's got the most votes won for us.
And my vote counts as five.
Yeah. So it was a pretty disappointing year, I think, overall, especially for AAA games. There's a few standout ones, but very few original titles. Mm-hmm. Dragon's Crown stands out probably as one of the more original games that came out. Payday 2, it's a sequel, but they really kind of stepped it up there.
It's just such a big, big leap from Payday 1 to Payday 2.
It's kind of surprising because when I nominated, I went back and looked through like the calendar to see, and we had games like Dead Space 3 that came out, Fuse. You know, there was a few others, but obviously, if I had to look through the calendar to find them,
yeah, nothing like out, just it wasn't something that like. Your head.
But everyone, I think everyone voted for Diablo 3 on console.
It just sounds like a really fun couch co-op game.
It's great.
And it's the thing is, it's not even just the couch stuff. It's the integration with the online. It's very seamless, and it just works. And like Mike said when we talked about the Reaper of Souls stuff, they tweaked so many of the systems. It's not the same game that's on the PC. It's a lot more fun experience. It's a little more arcadey. Having it in or playable with a controller, it feels more like a fighter, like a beat 'em up at times, depending on what kind of character you're playing and stuff. And that won our Game of the Year for AAA games. The community voted as well, and they voted Diablo 3 just above Payday 2. So that was a pretty close race. I think pretty much everyone agrees Diablo 3 was there.
AAA. Diablo 3 was definitely the most fun I had with a AAA game. I would have edged Payday 2 above it, but I think Payday 2 suffers from being,
too
unbalanced. No, I don't even think that. I think that Payday 2 all but requires you to go through the first couple levels in a big slog before you can reasonably complete some of the harder stuff. Like a lot of people want to play the hard stuff right out of the gate, and I didn't feel like you could do it. You just didn't have enough abilities. among the team.
Well, if you don't have a team of like four humans, you're also pretty much shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, trying to play a game with three people is impossible unless you're playing some of the, just the easy mode stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, there's Locky's back. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was just pretty slow, disappointing year overall.
So let's talk about the indies, where really stuff was off the charts.
Yeah, so there was a lot of indie games nominated.
Far more than we could actually cover in the list. Like, going back through when I was looking at it, I was like, there is far more indie games I could list here than AAAs.
Yeah, and part of it, too, like, we had a few people ask things like Mercenary Kings, right? It's not technically out, even though it's been in beta for a while. So there was a lot of that, which kind of pushed a few. But we had Foul Play, which came out on PC and XBLA. Charlie Murder, which was on XBLA. Monaco, PC and XBLA, Risk of Rain, PC, Ibn Ob, which was on PC and PS3, and Tiny Brains, which came out at the end of the year there on PC and PlayStation 4.
I'll tell you what I was surprised didn't make make the cut was Battle Block.
Mm. Yeah.
Battle Block Theater also came out this year and was pretty fun in co-op, so it surprised me that nobody seemed to remember.
Yep.
Did it come out in January or something? Because this year felt super long.
February? It was early.
I just remember seeing like Dead Space 3 come up. I'm like, that didn't come out 2013.
Yeah.
And you know, lo and behold, it was like March.
Yeah, well, there was a strong February this year, because I think that was Dragon's Crown as well, right? It was like February?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was early. Dragon's Crown
was early in the year. Oh, no, that was August. I'm sorry. That was August.
Yeah, we played Dragon Crown in E3 this year.
Yeah.
Got hyped for it.
It came out like August, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Can't remember 2013.
Yeah, so it kind of came down to two games for the indie folks, and it was Monaco and Risk of Rain. But Monaco pretty handily won the community vote, and I think it was closer for the staff.
Because we actually played Risk of Rain.
Yeah.
It helped.
But, yeah, so Monaco was our indie co-op game of the year. And I think it was well-deserved.
Oh, Monaco's a fantastic game. It's just wasn't my favorite.
And they just released a huge update for it, which tweaked basically every level in the game and stuff based on player feedback and stats and stuff like that.
Even cut levels.
Yeah, yeah. So they basically made a director's cut of it, I guess you can call it. And so indie definitely outshined AAA this year in terms of co-op gaming, which is good. I honestly had more fun even outside of co-op stuff with indie stuff this year.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
There's some good MMO, and you know, there's some other good stuff that came out this year, like Path of Exile actually finally released. You know,
yeah.
I had a lot of fun with that. MMO, you know, there were a bunch of good MMOs towards the end of the year. You know, Final Fantasy 14, the reboot of that is an incredible game.
Yep.
I had fun with Neverwinter.
Yeah.
There was some good stuff. It's just.
Yeah, I mean, if you would have told the game I probably played the most this year, if you would have told me this beginning of last year, I would have said bullshit, but it looks like it is Dota 2. It's the game with the most time. And I only really started it, I don't know, like the end of the summer?
Oh, for sure.
Somewhere
shame.
In there, middle of the summer. And I told Locke tonight, I have over 60 hours in it, so I don't know what happened, but I know what it is about it that I like. It's that there's no beginning or end necessarily. Like, there's no end game, so I'm not constantly, like, striving for something. It just, I'm playing it just to have fun.
Yep.
And it's kind of nice. It's a little less stressful. You know, I'm attacking my backlog, so to speak, right now. And like I said, I'm playing Skyrim, which is, what, 2.5 years, 3 years old at this point.
You're never too old for Skyrim.
Well, pretty much, I mean, what other option do you have? I feel like a lot of 2013 was waiting to see what's going to happen with next, you know, PS4, Xbox One, and then they finally come out, and it's just like, well, now we don't have any games to play.
Well, yeah, and that's so looking at 2014, there's very little announced in terms of co-op. You know, we basically have Destiny, which we talked about. You know, we have a Diablo 3 expansion. We have Halo is going to be coming out this year on Xbox One, which
Mercenary Kings.
Yeah, I'm talking AAA right now. Hold on.
Mercenary Kings.
Well, you know what? It's a valid point. It's going to be on PS4. But other than those games, there's very few big titles announced, and
Dark Souls 2.
He just doesn't want to talk about that.
I know he doesn't, but I was waiting.
I compiled our top stories of the year at the end of the year, and I think like the top 10, I think maybe 3 or 4 of them were Dark Souls 2 related stuff.
Damn straight.
I'm still waiting to hear when the next play session is, because they screwed up on their last one, and when they popped, they've had 2 play sessions, and one of them they screwed the servers up and no one could play, so.
It's probably, they're still trying to fix them.
That's a beta, right? But it's fun, man. It's hilarious, especially when, like, no one has any idea what is going on. Like, it's getting in on the ground floor on that game is really fun, I find, especially when people don't know how to, like, grief or summon or whatever, and you just see 50 signs everywhere, and you're like, "What
how,
is this?
How do I Dark Souls?
What is this game? Like, who are people are telling me to jump here and walk here? Beware of man and naked men." And I don't know.
Wait, are we playing Dark Souls or Rust?
I don't know. There might be a mod for it, but Dark Souls, just run around naked with a sack on your head. That's my style.
Sack bros.
Yeah, pretty much.
Ew.
Yeah, so I'm just going through the calendar here. We got Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare coming
out. That actually looks pretty fun.
Which looks pretty cool. Like I said, Dark Souls 2. What else we got? Nothing there. It's probably going to be empty until next fall. And so, yeah, it's... I'm wondering if anything will be announced at GDC, or if we're going to have to wait until E3 until we get some new next-gen announcements. I think we're still kind of in that transition phase, where
awkward teen stage.
Yeah, so indie games are going to be the place to go.
You better just make some, Nick.
Well, that's what I'm doing, right? So
getting on that Unity joint.
Messing around with Unity 3D, and I'm enjoying it. So I plan to spend more time working on that stuff than probably playing games this year. So
highest number of school buses per frame.
Awesome. But, that's exciting.
All right, I think that's it for the show, unless you guys have anything else you want to add.
Everyone, go play Monaco and Risk of Rain. And Payday.
Yeah. I still got to get Risk of Rain to work correctly on my PC.
What's wrong with it?
It doesn't do resolution stuff correctly, and it always sees my main monitor, which is a 21:9 aspect ratio. And so stuff gets clipped off the top and bottom.
Nick's PC is overpowered. Also,
and so that wouldn't be so bad, except that all of the selection options aren't where they are. So like if like the options like here, it's actually down to the right of it is where you have to click. It's and there's nothing I see anywhere on like the forums and stuff, so I just have to buy a new monitor. I don't know.
Send the dev an email. They're cool guys.
Yeah. But alright. Cool. So that's our first show of 2014.
Woo!
And so next week check back with us at our normal 10:00 Eastern 7:00 Pacific time. We'll be streaming some, what the heck's it called again? Ring Runner. And watch us make fools of ourselves with top-down space combat.
It's going to be glorious.
You can follow us on Twitter. We are Co-Optimus without the dash. We're on Facebook, Google+. Just search for Co-Optimus. We're easy to find, SEO'd to the max and all that good stuff. Locke, you got a cheat code for us tonight?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay.
Do you guys want the winner's guide to Nintendo?
Yes.
So here you go. Hot tip, in King's Quest V, use the silver coin to buy a pie at the Baker's Brothers shop. You defeat the Yeti by throwing the pie in his face.
Wait, King's Quest V was on a Nintendo?
On the NES? Yes.
Eventually.
I feel I need to read some from my top secret passwords guide.
All right, guys, this is top secret, so don't tell anybody else.
This is classified. I mean, you know, look at this. There's like, it says confidential.
Is that a potato at the top of that? What the heck is that a picture of?
It's a Super Nintendo controller.
Oh, it looked like a potato.
And this is the password screen for Metroid, I believe.
Yeah. God, I remember filling that thing out. Oh, it was
okay, so how about Gargoyle's Quest 2? Oh wait, yep. No, these are passwords. We want cheat codes. So in Adventure Island 2, if you want the world select ability.
Yeah, give me that.
You press right, left, A, B, A, B, after the coconut bonks Master Higgins on the head, and the title screen appears.
Ooh, wonderful.
Yes.
And then you see Master Higgins do something to that eggplant.
That game was great. I love that game.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next week. And stop the broadcast.